been about 35, 36 years since Richard Bowles wrote the best-selling Bible for job hunters called What Color Is Your Parachute? And now, about a year ago, I believe, Bowles and retirement expert John Nelson, who's with me in the studio, teamed up on the topic of retirement decisions. And they've used the latest research in economics and medicine and psychology to walk you and me through exercises to examining everything from our strengths and our values to deciding whether we're cut out for retirement at all. Some of us are, and I think some of us really aren't all that cut out for retirement. And some of us who thought we might be retiring might be working a lot longer than we had planned. So we'll be talking about that today with you and with John Nelson. John, I said he's from Verona. Really, he's in from Madison. Independent retirement planning researcher, writer, and speaker, and the author of With Richard Bowles of What Color Is Your Parachute? And if you'd like to join in with your questions and comments today, I hope you do. The number is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. John, welcome back. Nice to have you with us again.
Thanks for inviting me.
Well, these are some economic times that were a little different than when the last time you and I talked.
Yes, things have really taken a downturn, and a lot of people thought that they would be working in retirement, and now they're pretty sure that they will be. They used to think that maybe they'd do it for something to do, just to stay busy or engaged, and now they may need it to just make sure their finances are in order.
Your book and your advice doesn't really relate directly to financial advice. You don't really give a lot of financial advice in your book, right?
No, there are a lot of really good financial books already, and so I suggest that people use those. What I focus on financially in the Parachute for Retirement book is how to use a financial planner effectively, how to make sure that your goals and values are the focus of your financial arrangements rather than the other way around. So a lot of good financial books. This book is really about making sure you're healthy enough, making sure you're engaged, you're using your strengths, you're using your social network, you're choosing a good place to live, all those other aspects of really retirement life planning.
Yeah. We can't invest our way out of this mess, especially if we're near retirement.
No, there are no magic tricks you can use in your portfolio to change your investments to fix this, but there are planning things you can use that will help you get through it, and that's what I focus on.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of those non-financial ways to help in retirement. What are some key things to consider?
Well, part of it is to get very practical. When we imagine we might want to or need to work later, the truth is many people retire because their health is declining. And so it's important right now to do some real hard-nosed evaluation of your health, not just in the obvious ways, that is, you're already experiencing symptoms or problems, but there are assessments you can use. Some of those are health risk assessments, let's say from a group medical plan that you're in or through your employer. A good one online is realage.com.
Realage.com.
That's right. And what that will do is look at your family's health history, your own health history, your current biometrics like your blood pressure and cholesterol. It'll look at your lifestyle, and it will actually give you essentially an evaluation of whether your body is younger or older than your driver's license. And so if your biology is 5 years older than your driver's license says, that's not good news for your ability to work later if you need to. And so what you need are some tips and some ideas about lifestyle changes you can make to start building up your health in case you do need to work longer.
Okay, so health is one thing. What's another?
Another one is our social networks. And we have both our friends and family who provide support in times of need, and that's something that goes back really for all of human history.
Yeah.
But we have acquaintances, people who are not really in the business of providing support for us the way our family is, but those looser ties, those acquaintances, are our sources of information. So if you think you might need a new career, a new job, a part-time job, it's those acquaintances, those loose ties are the ones, that's our information network. And so you want to start paying attention to that because you may need information that's going to get you another job or other opportunities.
When Richard Bowles wrote his What Color Is Your Parachute, that was 36 years ago. We didn't have a computer.
That's right.
Much. Did we have it at all? I can't remember anymore. It's been, but anyway, what do computers and webs and all that play a role in this too?
Yeah, job hunting on the internet is a big deal, although it's still true that some of the best jobs never make it to those published sources, whether that's internet or print, and some of the best jobs come through your social networks. It's, as the old saying, not what you know, but who you know. So this would be a good time to start beefing up who you know, because you don't know how that may come in handy.
Yeah. John Nelson, our guest, as we talk about planning for now for the life you want later on, and certainly we invite you to join in with your questions or comments, or maybe you've got some experiences. What are you doing in this time to get yourself ready for retirement, or maybe you're at the retirement age? What are you? How are you coping? What are you doing? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. And I think you kind of talked about this a little bit, but the sort of the idea of retirement has really changed a lot, hasn't it, over the years?
Yes, and retirement itself is really an idea that's only about 100 years old. For really all of human history, retirement did not exist. And so most of us living at any other time would have had a gradual slowing down in the later part of life. We would have stayed as active, engaged, working in some way that suited our abilities, and had this gradual transition from midlife to later life. And so retirement was an artificial one-day end to the work life that we imposed starting about 100 years ago, and it's not really a natural way to taper off in our activities anyway. So what this will do is cause a lot of people, they may leave or need to leave their long-term career on one day, but then find other ways to slow down gradually, keep earning money if need be. That could be through seasonal work, contract work, part-time work, phased retirement from the employer. We're making up new ways to do that, but it really is about slowing down gradually instead of slowing down all at once.
All at once, yeah. Well, Boyd in Milwaukee has a question for you, so let's go to Boyd. Boyd, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call, and hello to your guest. Just briefly, Tom Ashbrook on his show last night talked to us similarly about retirement and a lot of the obstacles people could be facing because the economy is in such a rut. One of the questions that I have for your guest is, you know, I'm in my late 30s and want to plan for retirement, but I'm not a very high income bracket. Would it still be wise at some point to still invest in the stock market, maybe wait till it recovers a little bit? And prior to me doing that, though, I would like to actually clear a good chunk of my debt. I am thinking, though, of eventually opening up a Roth IRA and then kind of going from there.
Boyd, people in your situation have, in fact, a unique opportunity right now. If you are close to retirement and had a lot of assets in the stock market that you've taken a big hit, and yet your ability or desire to buy into the market at these low prices is not much of a factor. On the other hand, for somebody young like yourself who maybe didn't have a very big account to begin with, this downturn in the market has not affected you that much. And conversely, if you're saving through a 401k or Roth IRA and you're buying into the market right now, these will be some of the best investments you've ever made. Because remember the old adage, buy low, sell high. Well, that's really hard to do on a day-to-day or year-to-year basis, but on a decade-long basis, right now is the king of buying low times. So if you're in a 401k or you're making those automatic investments in a Roth or something else, do not stop. Keep going, and you'll be glad decades from now that you did.
One of the questions Boyd had to do with paying down debt as well. And how do you balance that out? Is it better to pay that debt out first or?
Yeah, there are two answers to this this question about investing and saving versus paying down debt. And from a mathematical perspective, for almost everyone, they're better off paying down the debt because that's essentially a guaranteed return of Yeah. Somewhere between 6 and 26%, depending on the interest you're paying. So from a mathematical, technical, financial planning perspective, paying down debt is always better. But from a human behavior perspective, what we've discovered is that it's a lot easier for some people to get excited and enthused and follow through with some saving and investing rather than just paying down debt. Mm. So rather than identifying the perfect situation and not doing it, which is paying your debt down first, behaviorally, we've learned psychologically, people often get farther if they're doing a little bit of both, if they're doing enough saving to get excited about and paying down debt.
Yeah, that makes sense.
To split your money.
Thanks, Boyd, for calling. Appreciate it. Peter in Vilas County will give you a chance now. Hi, Peter. Peter, are you there? We got Peter there. Peter, are you there?
Hi, I appreciate this.
Peter, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. Turn your radio down, Peter. That's the problem.
Certainly. One moment.
Peter, are you there?
Hold on. Here we go.
And I'll just tell everybody else, please turn your radio down and listen on the phone when you're waiting to get on. All right, go ahead, Peter.
That surely helps. As are many of your guests' pieces of advice, I wanted to talk about the true value of some of the health assessments that your guest talked about and the importance of staying healthy. In Wisconsin, there's the Wisconsin Fall Prevention Initiative. That's a state-organized campaign that's been around for a few years that helps adults, and especially older adults, get on top of their health and prevent injury-related falls. It helps people invest in their future.
Yeah, that's just another way of helping secure your health. No? Comment from you, John?
Yeah, it's interesting because we do have a life stage way of looking at our health, and that once we're really at retirement age or beyond, that we have emerging issues that we're specifically aware of and need to tend to keep them from becoming more significant problems. One of the things for people right now, let's say in their 40s, their 50s, is that we may have health problems that could be emerging that we wouldn't even be aware of. And it's these online kind of assessments around family health history mm-hmm. and other things that could alert us to ways to start building up our health in advance.
Mm-hmm. And thank you, Peter, for calling. Let's turn to Mike in Oshkosh next for a call. Mike, hello to you.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I got a crazy off-the-wall idea here. Hopefully I can pull it off. I'm 62. I'll be 63 in March. And my new fiance and I are thinking of selling both of our Wisconsin residents and buying something quite small in Wisconsin and then perhaps buying something in Europe, again, quite small. The dollar has strengthened immensely. What do you think about health care in Europe and owning property over there in France or Germany?
Mm. Hello,
Mike. Yeah, go ahead.
It sounds like a fun thing to do. Healthcare in Europe, I honestly would not be in a position to evaluate. What I can tell you, though, is that there is a predictable pattern to people moving in the retirement stage of life. And what the experts call an amenity migration, that's the early retirement move you make to a nicer place. That could be Florida, Arizona, Europe, but this is moving from your work life place to this fun, fulfilling, interesting, warm, culturally rich early retirement place. You're young, you're healthy. It's a good idea. It's important to know, though, that when we study retirement, we see that there are other migrations which are often predictable. And after this amenity migration, we get something often called an assistance migration. So after 10 or 15 years as a snowbird or in Europe or in Arizona, is that as our health begins to decline, we're not as able to take care of things in our affairs, that assistance migration is often moving near family to get the help we need. So just be aware when you make that first migration that there's a second migration often that will come later.
Well, that's part of the reason for maintaining a residence in Wisconsin, even though it be somewhat small and not too fancy, that we have the opportunity to come back. We thought perhaps we could rent out the one back in the States part of the time, and we've already had a number of inquiries from friends as to whether or not the place in Europe would be available part-time.
Yeah, and that one in Wisconsin, you'd want to make sure that that was a couple of things. Near those friends and family who are going to be sources of support for you later on. Another thing is that you want to make sure that that small residence uses something called universal design, because if you do move back to Wisconsin later with failing health or failing abilities, that you don't want a place that's too far out in the country, a place with too many stairs, a place that you can't get around in that building. And so you can start choosing or changing a residence right now. Just Google universal design, and you'll be able to evaluate how good that residence would stand up. Another thing about that, again, not being too isolated, is that if that's in an actual community where you could walk to the grocery store, walk to the post office, walk to the pharmacy, that that's an ideal community setting for that retirement residence. So you, in fact, can do right now some planning for the ideal residence later.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. It sounds like a great plan. I like your plan, Mike. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. We're visiting today with John Nelson of Madison, independent retirement planning researcher, writer, and speaker, and wrote, along with Richard Bowles, the book, What Color is Your Parachute for Retirement? Certainly, if you have some questions about planning now for the life you want later, I hope you'll join us. Maybe you've got some experiences to share as well. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. John Nelson, our guest, co-author of What Color is Your Parachute for Retirement? It's published by 10 Speed Press. We're really pleased to have him. It's been out for about a year, isn't it, now, John? How's it done, by the way?
It's doing great. And, of course, it's not selling as well as the original What Color is Your Parachute, which is a bestseller each and every year in the last 35 years. So, my hope is that the Parachute for Retirement book will be around hopefully as long.
Well, yeah, that would be a nice retirement for you then. Retirement help for you as well. Well, that's good. What about the question? What are the most often asked questions that you get?
One of the shifts that's happened just in the last year since the book has come out is that a year ago people were thinking they'd have plenty of money to retire. Obviously, we've always had people who had not saved enough or were not part of an employer pension or something. But the general tone of questions were, I think I'm going to be okay financially, and now how can I have a happier, healthier retirement? How can I plan that? And there are now, of course, a lot more people worrying that they won't financially have enough money.
Yeah.
They're going to have to keep working longer. When they do finally stop working, they're going to have to live at a lower standard of living than they thought they would. And so these are new times. And we're going to have to look at life in new and different ways. And the idea of living simpler, living less expensively, focusing more back on our friends, our family, our own psychological strengths, instead of just trying to buy happiness, that's where a lot of the questions are coming from.
So prosperity, and you sort of base your book on health, prosperity, and happiness, I think.
That's exactly right. If you look in most dictionaries and look up the word well-being, over the last couple of hundred years, we've simply decided that well-being had those three themes, prosperity, health, and happiness. And people really do want well-being for their retirement. And so it's possible to plan specifically for each of those experiences.
And I think, as you say in your book, at some point, we'd all like to live a healthy life right up to the day we die, yes. And at a very old age, and free of any health problems. And it doesn't happen as often as we'd like it to.
Yes, that's true. But we can plan.
We can plan. Martha in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Martha.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
In a recent meeting with our financial advisor, we are both age 60, and he recommended that we take and roll over our money that's in our retirement account into fixed annuities. And I'm wondering your thoughts on that.
Well, Martha, one of the challenges with financial advisors these days is that there are those that are true professionals and will give you their best professional advice independent of how they are compensated. But there are also financial advisors who work on straight commission, just like a car salesman does. And so if you roll into, if you're driving a two-year-old Ford and go into the Chevy dealership and ask if you should trade in, the answer is always yes. And so if the person you're working with works just on commission, that the only way they can get paid is by asking you to roll out of your 401k plan or your existing IRAs into some new product that they can earn a commission on. And so it is possible to work on commission and act in a professional and forthright manner. However, those commissions do cloud the issue. So what I would urge you to do is to get at least a second opinion. And if possible, that second opinion should be from a fee-only planner, someone that you pay on an hourly basis or on a flat fee. And it's not that they have to be your only source of advice, but this is a once-in-a-lifetime decision you're making. It's one of the largest financial decisions you will ever make. So it's worth a few dollars in fees to make sure you make the right one.
Yeah, that's good advice. Thank you very much, Martha, and good luck to you. Get that second opinion. Alice in Shorewood, we're on to you now. Hi, Alice.
Well, hi there. Concerning establishing a retirement residence in Europe or outside the United States, it's been my understanding that Medicare doesn't pay for treatment given outside the continental U.S., and I wonder if that's true or not. And if it does, I think that certainly Medicare Direct would not be available, so that there'd be additional paperwork involved in accessing benefits. Could you comment on that?
Yeah, Alice, I wouldn't know. I wish I were in the position, thinking of moving to Europe myself and had investigated Medicare coverage there. but I'm not quite at that point. And I think that you need to do some very specific research on that topic.
And I think if you go directly to the Medicare, I would expect that the website for Medicare or the 800 number for Medicare, they'd be able to answer that question. I'm sorry we don't have the answer to that one, but that's a little out of the scope of our talk today. But
well, at any rate, accessing health benefits would be something that a plan should be in place before moving.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Unless you could time your illnesses just for when you were in the U.S., probably not.
Thank you very much for that's probably one reason, just as I think about this, why people are more likely to, if they have a second residence, to stay within the United States in a retirement situation. Here in Florida or here in Arizona or someplace else, that may be one of the reasons why people make that choice. Bill in St. Paul, Minnesota, your turn. Hi, Bill.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been told by different financial advisors and by going to different websites that I should anticipate needing 80 to 90% of my current income to sustain a lifestyle that I've become accustomed to. However, a large percentage of my income now is devoted towards retirement itself, towards paying college education, and a mortgage of that I've almost cleaned up. And so when I retire, I won't be paying for college, and I won't be paying for a mortgage. And I'm wondering if that 80 to 90% income is accurate, if I really do need that much, or what do you think?
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
You know, I can tell that you've given this a lot of thought, and that's a good thing, because in some ways you are more of an expert on your retirement planning than the experts can be. You know your life situation in a way that they probably don't. And so that 80 to 90% is just a rule of thumb that has been bandied around. It's crept upward over the years. It used to be at 70%. And it is just a glittering generality. And that the best way to do some real planning, instead of that top-down percentage figure based on your income, is to do it the opposite way, is to do a bottom-up approach where you actually look at your home budget. You work with a knowledgeable financial planner to say, look, here are my actual expenses once we take out saving for college, saving for my own retirement, my costs of going back and forth to work every day. And we just start at the bottom. We build up what my budget is likely to be in retirement, adjust that for inflation, and you're going to get a much, much better figure of how much money you really need. So you're on the right track.
Well, Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, by the way, if you have a question or a comment or maybe an experience to share at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org, and we'll be glad to get you on the air. Happiness is one of those key elements that you mentioned, and in a way, trying to think about how do you plan for happiness?
Well, one of the ways we can plan for that is that in the same way that about 50 years ago we identified that financial portfolios have cash, bonds, and stocks. Those are the three kinds of investments that make up portfolios and portfolio management. And the latest research shows that we can create a happiness portfolio in the same way. The three kinds of happiness, according to the latest research, is simple enjoyment. That's the kind of fun, leisure kind of happiness that we think of, kind of like going to the ball game on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
The second kind of happiness is engagement or flow, and that's where we bring our skills or strengths to some positive challenge. Now, for some people, that could be their work. It could be a challenging hobby. There are a lot of things, but the idea is that you literally have to invest yourself in it. That's a completely different kind of happiness than that first easy fun type. And that, instead of going to a ball game, would be like playing in a ball game. The third kind of happiness in our happiness portfolio is meaning or purpose. And that is being a part of something greater than or outside of ourselves. And that would be like working as a volunteer in a little league. So that's something that, or helping to create a ball field for kids to play at. So that's this thing outside of ourselves we're a part of. And so in the same way you can structure and manage a financial portfolio of your investments, you literally can plan for a happiness portfolio that's going to give you an opportunity to have all three kinds of happiness in retirement, whereas we know the old-fashioned kind of retirement was based almost exclusively on the first one. I need to have some money to have fun in a leisure lifestyle. And we're going way beyond that now.
Enjoyment, engagement, and purpose.
Exactly.
All
exactly.
Right. Carol and Nina, we're on to you now. Hi, Carol.
Yeah, this might be kind of controversial, and so there might be some other callers who disagree. But in terms of planning where you're going to live when you retire, there's a great many retired folks who might have a condo or something in Florida and then have one of these big 50-feet, $100,000 RVs or whatever. And then their plan is, okay, they'll all winter, you know, the worst months of winter, they'll stay in Florida for the tax benefits, et cetera, and all the other benefits. But then when it's fall and summer, spring, you know, the nicer months in Wisconsin, they think that they will go around and park their RV in their children's yards. You know, they might have four children or something. And from personal experience, that is disastrous. It's so hard. It's yeah. it's like literally having them live with you. You never can relax. I mean, at least not my kind of person. So just an observation for people to think about, that they ought to talk that over with their kids before they plan something like that.
Well, Carol, it's thanks for raising that. And John, a comment from you?
One of the important things that Carol brings up, she's exactly right, is that anticipating who you're going to spend your time with in retirement is an important part of planning. And that in the same way that you wouldn't want to park your RV in your kid's driveway, you may not want to move, let's say, across the street from them to be close to your grandkids either, because that might just be too much. So it really is a balance of making sure you're accessible to the people you love and the people you want to be around, but not in a situation that turns up the tension or the possible challenges with that.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Carol, for calling. Appreciate it. I want to give some others a chance to get in here. Judith and Racine, you're next. Hi, Judith.
Hi. I'm calling to respond to the lady that called in who she and her husband are both 60, and they asked their investment advisor what to do. And your response was with regard to the professionalism of insurance agents in the commission situation. I guess that was the hardest thing in my career. making the decision on other people's money. I always had to pretend it was my money when I made the decision. Now, they can, before they invest, ask the right questions of the agent. What is the minimum guaranteed return on an annuity? Because that's the only reason people go into it, is that it has a guarantee and no principal can be lost. If you're talking about fixed annuities, if you're talking about variable annuities, then you're dealing with the same risk you have in the stock market. So the people need to do a little investigating themselves before they go to that second opinion that you recommended. I'll take your response off the air.
All right. Thank you for calling. John?
Yes. I would actually I think that you're exactly right, that understanding the specific details of that contract are very important. I would actually put evaluating your relationship with that planner or advisor first, understanding who's on first, what their training, what their form of compensation is. You need to understand what your relationship is first and who the players are, and only then can you roll up your sleeves, get down to the specifics of the contract. Because if you're in the wrong kind of relationship, it doesn't matter what those contract terms are. You're in a tug of war with somebody who's an expert and you're not. So number one, you need to understand that the relationship, you need to be able to trust that person. And within that trusting relationship, then you're totally right. Roll up your sleeves, understand those contract provisions before you make any of those once-in-a-lifetime big decisions.
Thanks, Judith, for calling. And Justin and Madison will give you a chance. Hi, Justin.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I guess I have kind of a comments last question here. Mm-hmm. I'm a young adult, you know, age 26. I'm working in the professional world for 2.5 years now. Have not invested in retirement yet other than my company's profit sharing program, which is very generous. They invest a certain percentage every year. I do not put anything in. That being said, due to just the ability of the economy as it stands now, is it still worth investing in something like a Roth IRA, which is advantageous to someone of my age, where it's tax deductible going in and not coming out?
Yeah.
Would it still be worth, I mean, other skew to this is that, you know, I'm pretty stretched thin currently with my income because I do pay over on my mortgage and I do have a car I'm still paying for.
Okay.
And yeah, I get kind of wraps up my question.
Okay. Well, let's go to John for a comment. John?
Hi, Justin. The analogy that I would use about the mutual funds that might be offered in your employer's 401k plan, those managed accounts, those underlying stocks in America's or international companies, is that those are probably at a lower purchasing cost to you right now than they have been in the last 10 years, than they may be ever again in your lifetime. And that as a young person right now, it's a little bit like, had you seen a house that you wanted to buy, and over the last 5 years you saw that house go from 100 to 110 to 120 or 130,000 as a selling price, and now if that house was on sale and it was $90,000 or $80,000, would you say, wow, this really might be my time to buy that house, because I know in the rest of my lifetime it's probably going to be selling for a lot more than that, and now's the time to buy? Well, that's a little bit like the mutual funds and the stocks in your employer's 401k plan, that now as a young person, you may be buying those at a lower cost than you will ever see in your lifetime again. So if you're already contributing and thinking about stopping, please don't. Continue buying in. And if you are on the if you have the ability to get to start those payroll deductions and saving and investing for your retirement now, it's a good time, not a bad time. You don't have much money at risk, and you're buying in low.
What about the Roth IRA situation for a young person?
Yeah, one of the big challenges for young people is knowing whether they should be doing their saving on an after-tax basis that is tax-free when they need it. That's what the Roth does. Or saving on a before-tax basis that's taxable on the other end, like a traditional 401k or traditional IRA. And in the same way that we talk about diversification in your portfolio, most people should have a diversified investment portfolio. You also want a diversified tax portfolio, so that you want to have some investments that are before tax, some that are after tax, some in the form of long-term capital gains over time, And so it really is okay to have a traditional 401k and a Roth and money in your home equity. And that's a good thing because it gives you more flexibility at the other end when you go to use it.
Hmm. We had an email from Doina in Nina who has a question about retirement. Why is it we never hear the experts telling people that one of the main goals is in getting ready for retirement would be not having a mortgage? Having the house paid for eliminates a big expense in everybody's budget.
Yes, that's exactly right. And part of that is a generational issue, that if we think about the people who are already retired, we think about our parents or grandparents, that their goal of using their home as a resource for retirement was just to get it paid for. That even if they never accessed any of that home equity, that having a free place to live in retirement is a pretty valuable thing, and that was their goal. One of the things that happened as housing prices have crept up and also people thinking about accessing home equity for consumer purchases is that we shifted from this idea of having our homes paid for as a resource into having a bigger, more expensive home, more equity that we then want to tap into for retirement. And that was a societal shift, frankly, as well as a shift in the kinds of mortgage products available to us, like reverse mortgages and home equity loans. Mm-hmm. And so it is a complex issue that will be worked out by the baby boomers over the next couple of decades. But the email is exactly right, that the most conservative approach is to have a home you can afford, get it paid off before you retire, and have a free place to live. That's the conservative approach.
Well, John, it's always a pleasure to have you with us, and I hope you can come back and do this again. We'd love to have you.
Thank you.
Any final in the last minute here comment for our listeners?
Just to remember that the overwhelming focus so far has been on the financial portfolio decline, and that this is really a broader planning issue. It's also a longer-term shift in society and the way we think about retirement, and we will still be making these changes for many years to come.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
John Nelson is co-author with Richard Bowles of the book, What Color is Your Parachute for Retirement? Take a look at it. Lots of interesting plans that he's got in there. And as I said, it's not a financial investment book, but there's a lot of books out there like that. But this looks at a lot of other aspects of our life that can bring us a lot of joy and security and peace and happiness down the road. If we plan now for the life we want later. Coming up, we're going to be talking about a new book that's out. It's called Voices from the Heart of the Land, Rural Stories that Inspire Community, and it was written by Richard Cates. And he'll be with us next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.